Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4 and 8 through 13 is our lesson text today, and I need to take my thought out of the 12th verse today. And one part of that verse says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Had a thought on our heart today is be full and hungry. Be full and to be hungry. And I don't know necessarily why this thought came to me this week, but it's the thought that the Lord has continued to impress on our heart. And I'm afraid today that we've reversed the roles of what we're full of and what we're hungry for. Today it seems as though, at least here in America, we're hungry to gain all the wealth and the things of this world that it has to offer. We want and we want and we want more and more and more, and too many times we're full and we think we are just had all that we need of the spiritual things of God. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm not full of the things of God. I'm hungry for them. And I desire for God to just manifest and make known His Spirit into me in such a mighty way, not just today, but I'm talking every day of my life. I'm hungry for the Lord. I desire to know more about Him. I love that song. I want to know more about my Lord because I do. I'm hungry for Him. I'm hungry. The Bible speaks of in the psalmist, my heart pains for the Lord. It's desire after the Lord. And what's the Lord? And it's so greedy for the Lord. That might not be the best word for it, but I just want you to know that we need to have a desire for our God. We need to desire and to want Him more than anything. And for some reason, we have lost the hunger for our God. I know when the Lord convicted me and let me know I was a sinner, there was a hunger inside of me that I wanted Him more than life itself, and I surrendered all to Him. And you know what? He repaid me with the fullness of salvation, an eternal being that God has placed His soul, His Spirit inside of me, and gave me that sweet peace that passes all understanding. That's just in the few verses of Scriptures prior to this. But unfortunately, we have reversed the roles of what the Apostle Paul was reading to the church here in Philippians, of what he was trying to get them to understand. He said, I know how to both be full and to be hungry. We know. We that have been saved, don't we know how to be hungry for the Lord? Don't we know how to desire our God? I'll tell you how we do that. We wake up every day with Him on our heart and mind. We fill our hearts with His presence and we spend time. The Bible talks of singing songs to the Lord, keeping a melody upon your heart and to Him. He also speaks of praying without ceasing and continually having a prayer and a thought of Him upon our heart. We wonder why we don't gain the fullness of the Lord. There's been times where I've been here with you all,
I remember specifically one night in revival, there was two young ladies that were trying to get their condition figured out. One of them finally figured out she'd been saved a long time ago and had been confused about her condition. I mean, this was way up into the wee hours of the night, 12 or 1 o'clock at night. We were right in the middle of the altar, closer to the benches, and they were there. And you know, I remember we were singing Amazing Grace. And we continued to sing that song. We were so tired and wore out. But every verse that we sung of that song, those girls begin to pray a little more earnestly. Before you know it, a big smile came across their face. And you can see the fullness of Jesus Christ dwelling in their soul. One of them stood up and said, God had saved her. And the other one let us know that she was all right. Everything had been taken care of. Haven't we experienced the fullness of our dear Savior? If you've ever been saved, you've experienced that fullness. When God passes by and lets you feel your presence, you know that He's real. And you can feel Him. The fullness of God is at our grasp. But the problem is we're too hungry for the world instead of hungry for the Lord. Help us, God, to focus on the things that He originally taught us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, one of Jesus' first teachings there. He tells us in Matthew, it's in the 5th chapter, and the very simple message that He lays out to us. He tells us in the verse 6 of the 5th chapter of Matthew, blessed or happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thank you, Lord. The promises of God. Stand on the promises that God has afforded us. We hunger after the righteousness, not of ourselves. Our righteousness, Isaiah says, is filthy rags in the eyes of God. But how long to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ inside of my soul, and then it would shine out to a world in which we live in that's full of sin and wickedness and perilous times. And once they've had their fill, they'll be able to experience the wonderful peace of God. Experience how good that He is. How wonderful that God really is. How we've reversed the roles in James, He tells us. There in the 4th chapter of James, you all bear with us today. He tells us in the 1st verse, from which come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even in your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. What happened to the simple message of that Jesus sent out, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. That's what He tells us. He gives us His promises. But we are not hungry enough for Him as we ought to be. If this message is for no one else, it's for me today. God, give me the hunger that I need for You. Not for this world. Not for the things of this world that just in the Bible tells us, lets us know that they'll go to waste. They won't do us any good. They're vain things. The treasures of this world are going to burn up one of these days. But Jesus also in the Sermon on the Mount tells us to seek ye the things that will not be corrupted with rust and where thieves can't break through and steal, but set your treasure on things above, not on this earth beneath. What is those treasures? I believe those treasures are just as He tells us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. He tells us in the first verse, He said, I look at all these witnesses of the 11th chapter of Hebrews that I've given you who were considering themselves as strangers and pilgrims on the earth, who didn't care about this world but were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Look at these witnesses and do like they did. I lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and let us run with.
finisher of our faith, who is set before Him, who is for the joy that was set before Him. Have you ever thought about Jesus being rewarded for what He did? Oh, for the joy that was set before Him. What is His joy? Is it all of His creation, those that have been saved by God's grace, those new creatures will one day finally praise Him. His joy is today as God's people lift up song and praise to Him. His joy is when a lost sinner comes home and they get saved by His marvelous grace. His joy is for all eternity when we take those crowns and how we lay them at His feet and praise Him forevermore. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before Him. Why do we do what we do? Why do you do what you do? For the joy that's set before me. That's why I do. Because I know, as Job said, who my Redeemer is. I know He lives. And I know that in my flesh I will see Him. Not in this flesh, but in a new body. My eyes shall behold Him. We ask and receive not. We're full of the physical blessings. Let's be honest, folks. We are taken care of way better than we deserve. I know I am. Got more things that I could give away that God has blessed me with so much that I... And for some reason we have agreed about us. I've seen it so many times. Once you have a little bit, you just want more, don't you? Even a child, our little girls, how they'll fight over toys. They want what the other one has. And they're just greedy, even at a young age. And it's something that's in our human nature. It's our proneness to sin and to do those things. But you know what? Can you imagine the effectiveness of our ministry and of our service to God if we had a type of hunger that we desired for the people that were around us to be better off than we were? The Bible says, seek the welfare of your neighbor over yourself. To seek them that they would be better off than yourself and that we would be able to help them along the way. The Bible teaches us to seek after the things that really matter. We have grown so blind and so cold-hearted and worldly that we want the world more than Jesus. You know that name is so precious. And the life that He gave, He paid for my soul and for my life. It's the least that I can do is to hunger after Him. To desire Him. To desire what? To desire His will in my life. Lord, what do You want? But we ask in the wrong way. How many of us, when we ask for lost people to be saved, are we really asking in the right way? Jesus said, when you pray, you're going to have to do it in the right way. He said, the Pharisees and scribes and the hypocrites, they do it in the street corners and they stand up so people can see them and they'll make long prayers so that people can hear them. But what God really wants is for our sincere desire. We'd enter into that closet, whether it be here in the middle of the altar, pouring our heart out to God. It doesn't matter what the focus is that it's between you and God. We've lost that. That's how it had to be when I got saved. I believe that's how it has to be every day that we pray. Has got to be between us and our dear Savior, and that He would take. The Bible says the Spirit maketh intercession for us. It's in Romans. With groanings which cannot be uttered. And He brings up those requests because we don't know what we should ask for ourselves. I've been trying to pray, Lord, what's Your will, what do You want for my life? And all He wants me to do is just say, turn it over to me and I'll take care of it. You let me decide that. Depend upon me. Help us, God, to get a hunger for the things that really matter. To get a desire upon our heart for the things that matter. To desire Him. We're in a day and age where people are really hungry for the true gospel. They may not want to admit it, but there's a world of people that are hungry for the truth.
God puts a hunger and a desire in each and every heart. People don't want to give this, I don't know how to call it other than maybe a handshake religion of falsehood and fakeness. We need to give somebody something that's original. And you know what's original? Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Of whom I am, Jesus, what the Apostle Paul said, and what we need to tell them is we're a sinner saved by God's grace. Yeah, we're calling them a sinner because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but thanks be unto God, there is a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a gift that they can experience. That's what we need to hunger for. We need to hunger that people in this world can be full of Jesus. That these people that are out murdering all these other people, we need to pray that God would have His way. You know what could happen? I believe in a God that's all-powerful. If He could save the Apostle Paul who was just destroying the church of the living God, I believe it can save even the leaders of ISIS. I believe in a God that's able to do any of those things. Yeah, they're our enemy. What does the Bible say about it? Pray for your enemies. Those that despitefully use you. Those that desire to kill you, you pray for them. And we need to share the name of Jesus to them. That's hard for us to do, but God help us to have the mindset of our dear Savior Jesus. You know what His mindset was? The Bible says, let us have the mind of Christ, who took upon the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but took upon the form of a servant. He came as lowly as He could. Help us, God, to be more like our dear Savior. There's a hunger in this world. Amos in the 8th chapter, and the 11th verse says, "Behold, the days come, and we're living in them. Saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst, or of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." It's out there, folks. We're living in a world where people are hungry for the truth. And unfortunately, there's a famine because there's not a lot of the truth being preached like it's supposed to be. Presented like it's supposed to be. I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God. I believe if you're going to preach about heaven, you've got to preach about hell too. We've got to let the world know that there's a place to gain and that there's a place to shun as well. That God is a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. He's also a consuming fire. We have to tell them the whole truth. Jesus told His Jews that were trying to follow Him, He said, "You know what? If you know the Son will make you free." They said, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." He said, "Yes, if you've been given into sin, you've been enslaved to sin. But if you know the Son, He'll make you free." That's a harsh statement. Then later on in that same chapter, He goes on to tell them as they would dispute with Him, we're not random. Our father is Abraham. Jesus said, "Your father is the devil, and his works you'll do." He was a liar from the beginning. We need to tell them the truth as our dear Savior did. But you know what He did? He told them in love and expressed the compassion that He was coming to die for them. There's a hunger for the truth of the matter. It says, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst." We're living in a world, folks, that's hungry. The problem is we're full of the world. We're not hungry enough for them. They've got a hunger for Jesus Christ, but we think, well, and I've heard this statement made in some of our churches and some of God's people. They said, "Well, I've got my family saved, and I've got this one saved, and all the ones that I really care about, so I'm okay."
Shame on us. God gave me something to share. Ephesians says, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to good works that He has foreordained that we should walk in. He's given me a little light to shine in this dark world in which we're living in. And I know it flickers. I know it's covered a lot of times with a bunch of sin, a bushel of sin wrapped around it, but the Lord helps us to shake that sin off and to be a light to this hungry world around us. You know why these people are doing these things? You know why these murders are going on and these terrible things are going on? Because they're having a void inside of their heart that needs to be filled with Jesus. And until they get full of Jesus, they're going to continue in their sins. And we've got to share the good news. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. That we've got a Savior that was born into this world and we're getting ready to celebrate this time of year, which we ought to celebrate all the year, that there was a man named Jesus, born of a virgin birth and overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, came and bled and died for your and my sins and for the whole world's sins, and they could all experience His salvation. You know, there's salvation under His wings. There's salvation and still protection there. Still love, even for murderers, absolutely for murderers. Even for those that would take it, kill a 7-year-old girl. God have mercy on their soul.
Yes, yes.
That God would convict them and bring them to an altar of repentance, and they'd be saved and get their life turned around. If our dear Savior would turn to the inside and look at the thief and most likely a murderer that was hanging on the cross next to Him and say, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," He wants to save everyone. That's why He was bleeding on that cross. I am no better than all the murderers and terrible people out in this world, except for my soul that's been saved and sealed by my Savior. There's a difference there because I've got Jesus inside. But I'm still just an old sinner saved by God's grace. And I need to let this know that I'm no better, but I've just got Jesus. Talked to the man at work this week. For some reason, Jesus got brought up. He was talking about hoping that Jesus wouldn't hold him. Done that before him. If he took my pen from me, I think is what it was. Let me give your pen back to you. Jesus will bring that before me one of these days. I said, "Well, yeah, He will." I said, "But you know what He's going to be? He's going to be my attorney. He's going to stand in my stead. He's going to call and say, 'That one's mine.' Yeah, he's a sinner. Doesn't deserve to be let in. But I paid for his price.
Amen.
I made a way for him. And he trusted and believed in me with all of his heart. So I claim Jesus as my Savior.
Amen.
I'm thankful to have Him residing in my soul. I'm thankful that He filled up my soul with His salvation, with His presence as a 7-year-old boy. But I'm still longing for more. I want to read few more verses of Scripture, and we'll be done, if the Lord allows. In the psalmist, a very familiar verse of Scripture that we want to leave you with. Psalms, the 23rd chapter. It's a small chapter, but you know the chapter. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Want for what? Anything. Eternal salvation. The Lord is taking care of me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I desire that my cup would run over, that it would be full. There's been a few times in my life that I didn't know. I couldn't explain what happened. Remember in Jamaica, me and Brother Stephen Mudd got filled up with the Spirit of God.
that just looked like popcorn. He was jumping up and down, and I was right next to him. We couldn't hold ourselves for the fullness of God that had passed by that place from the Spirit of God, and how strong that was. I remember in ministry school that I got happy one time, and I jumped so high they didn't believe that I could jump that high. I was so filled with the Spirit of God, I couldn't contain it. Folks, we need that in our services. We need that in our homes. God's people need that. And the world needs to experience it and see it for their own eyes. That it's not something that's made up. It's not something that we conjure up and that we make to happen. But the Spirit of God, He's real. And that when He feels our presence, sometimes He allows us for it to overflow. You know what happens when that overflows and when that cup fills up? It spills out into other cups. People get blessed. Sometimes I've had the best blessings just from seeing other people get happy and feeling the presence of the Lord. Some people may never shout, but oh, one of these days we will, and we'll have our fill for all we can stand. I hope and pray today that you'll be able to get full of the spiritual things of the Lord, to hunger after those things, and to be full to have all we need in the world. We've got enough of it. Let's let go of some of the world, and let's hold on to the Lord. Thank you for listening to us today. I hope you got a little something out of this message today. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed the Apostle Paul to write that to the Church of Philippians so many years ago, and that He still allows it to be preached even today. I wonder if there might be something on someone's heart today. Anything at all the Lord would have you to say or do. Anything at all on your heart today. Let's have a song. Have a Christian handshake if we can. I'd like to shake your hand. Tell you that I love you. Thank the church again for allowing us to come this way today. Please, what the Lord has placed on our heart. Thankful. The presence of the Lord has been here and allowed us to feel Him today.
Amen. Thanks, 203.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Enjoyed your message today.
I enjoyed trying to prepare
And thankfully, the Lord sent me to see these men, even though I'm not concerned. Someone else has something on your heart today.
Appreciate you. I've always loved you. That's a special spot in my heart for you. But I appreciate your time. That was for me.
Be
careful for our church. Appreciate you and your family being with us. Appreciate our visitors being back with us.
Amen.
Always want you to feel welcome.
Amen.
Church and the opportunity. Love each one of you, know that. And praying for this church. And, let's pray one for another. We're in a cold world that we're living in, and there's sin everywhere. If we're not careful, we'll be caught up. So let's pray one for another and help one another out. Let's not kick each other when we're down. We'll help each other up along the way. Pray one for another. Encourage one another. And let's do our best to let Jesus shine forth. You know, I don't feel worthy to be called a Christian. But the Bible says, I believe they were first called Christians at Antioch. And let the world call us a Christian, by the way. We live for our Savior. Even it's unfortunately we're living in a world where it's really not politically correct to be a Christian, but that's okay. We're going to be just what the Lord made us to be, and be an example to the world that's around us that they can know about our Savior. Anything else on your heart today? Thank you again for coming. Thank you for each one, for visitors. Welcome you back anytime here at Faith Church to feel right at home. And pray one for another as we leave this place. It will be about the Father's business. Remember the ladies' fellowship this Tuesday night at 6:30, I believe, was what was said there. Just remember this. Anything else?
Remember James.
Yes.
Please. Yes. Let's see how
well you can say it. Please remember James in our prayers. Nothing else for the name of Jesus.
Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for the time. Once well to pray that you go with us, we go our separate ways. Just watch over and protect us and lead us and guide us and everything you have us standing for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I've seen that one now.
I have a